see this man who stood condemned to die. A man they once proclaimed as king, they now would crucify. They laid a cross upon his back and pushed him up the road. The path would lead to Calvary. He fell beneath the load. And as I watch, I understood the burden that he bore was more than just a heavy tree. The weight was so much more. The weight of the cross was the weight of my sin, not the weight of the tree that was carried by him. Jesus bore in my place on Calvary's road, 'neath the weight of the cross. His face was scarred, his body bruised, his head was crowned with thorns. The crowd now jeered and mocked his name, the object of their scorn. He never said a word to them, the silent Lamb of God. This man of sorrow bore the cross he chose to carry on. But somehow in his eyes I saw a love beyond the pain, as if he knew his sacrifice and love would be my gain. The weight of the cross was the weight of my sin, not the weight of the tree that was carried by him. Jesus bore in my place on Calvary's road, 'neath the weight of the cross. The weight of the cross was the weight of my sin, not the weight of the tree that was carried by him. My guilt and disgrace Jesus bore in my place on Calvary's road, on Calvary's road, on Calvary's road.
Thank you. Let's stand together for a second. Did you get a handout? Did we pass those out? Okay. Excuse me? How many of you didn't get one? Okay, do we have any more ushers? Who didn't get one? Raise your hand. Okay, just a couple over here. If you see, there you go. They're coming. Thanks, Mr. Rawl. Mark chapter 10. We'll read the first 9 verses. As we get to this time of the year, we're getting close to the couples retreat. As Paul said, pray that they come home happy. Because once they get home, it usually ends there. Just kidding. All right. I'm not going to be a comedian. There are so many out of work. So I want to talk to you a little bit about marriage. By the way, I do encourage, if you're married, to go to the couples retreat. I really do. I think it'd be good for you. And I think you regularly need to get away. You just do. So, oh, no, we just love being around the kids all the time. No. You may feel that way. I guarantee your wife doesn't. All right? So very important. So I want to read these verses. Mark chapter 10, verse 1. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. The people resort unto him again and said, as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Moses and Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the few minutes we have together here tonight. I pray as we just look at a few things about what Jesus said about marriage, that you would strengthen us. If we're not married, you would teach us. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As Jesus here is traveling to Jerusalem, the Pharisees come to him and ask a question about marriage. Now, whenever the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers are asking Jesus a question, it's because not that they want to learn, it's that they're trying to snare him. Okay, they're trying to entrap him. He's probably in a district that was ruled by Herod, the one who had John the Baptist beheaded, in part because of John's condemnation of his adulterous marriage. And so they were probably trying to get him to say something, hoping that he would get in trouble. In answering their question on marriage, Jesus takes them back to the original creation of marriage, God's original intentions for it. After all, it is God who created marriage. And if he's the one who created marriage, he's the one that has a right to make the rules to how it is governed. As we look at what Jesus says, we're going to get his views on marriages. And his views and God's view on marriage ought to be our view on marriage. You want to have the best marriage you can have, we need to follow what God says. And that's very important. Jesus makes it clear that one of the biggest problems in marriage, one that ultimately would bring it to a disobedient end, if that's the worst case scenario, really, it's hardness of heart. People's hearts get hard toward each other. Nobody that gets married with the intention that one day it's going to blow up or this thing's not going to do very well. Their hearts are, when they get married, it's that time their hearts are soft towards each other and they're in love and they got their whole future ahead of them and this is going to be great. But if we're not careful over the course of time, things come into the marriage that can cause our hearts to get hard towards one another. It doesn't happen immediately. It always happens over a period of time. We allow things, differences, and individuals sometimes to come between us, and also our distant relationship with God can also do that. So looking at the verses here and look at what Jesus said, I want to share with you four things that we need to remember about marriage that would help us out. I want you to see, first of all, on your paper there, it's a created relationship. It's a created relationship. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And so this was at the beginning of creation, and then God put it together how he wanted it to be. As we mentioned earlier, marriage was not man's idea, it's God's idea. And he has not changed his ideas about it. We may try to change God's ideas about marriage. We may try to make them fit what we want them to be, but we can't do that. Look at letter A. I want you to see it. It started apart, and let me explain that. Letter A, it started apart. Look at the verses there in Genesis. Here we have Adam. God created Adam, and Adam's in charge. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. All the other animals are coming by, and they're in couples, and they're in pairs, and, you know, that's an elephant, that's a giraffe, that's this and all that, and he gets that done, and he comes to find out he's by himself. He doesn't have anybody. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and there's so many jokes here, I'm not going to go with it, you've heard them all, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed the flesh up instead thereof. I've been hanging around Brother Pineda too long. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You see, God gave Eve to Adam because he was alone. And God saw that he was alone, and God's like, this isn't good. He needs somebody. God knew he needed a companion, a lifetime companion. And so God gave him Eve. By the way, let me say this. If you're still single, notice that the companion was the companion of God's choosing. Now, when Adam woke up from his sleep and his side hurt, probably, he had one choice, but I'm pretty sure God did a good job there. He's like, whoa, yeah, this will work. It was a lady of God's choosing. If you're single, you know, who should I marry? You might want to pray about that. Make that a matter of prayer. Some people are like, no, I'll just choose who I want. Well, then you'll be praying afterwards, okay? Better be very careful. Make sure you get the one that God has for you. Pray about it. Now keep your eyes. I get all that. But pray. Lord, who do you want me to marry? You should have that on your list. It ought to be very urgent matter of prayer. You're like, you know, Brother Myers, that's me. I didn't pray about it, and I'm married, and I think I got the wrong one. I can help you with that. If you're married, look in your finger. If you got a ring, she is the right one. He is the right one. I don't think she is. No, they are. They're the right one now. Okay? There's obviously, I've had people tell me, like, no, we just got married because of this. And I know it's not it's the right one. Okay? And you can make that thing work with God's help. We had a lady years ago. She, you know, I mean, sometimes people, they're just a little different. And you know, they're not completely there. And I'm out there greeting people. And she says, she's in my Sunday school class. She goes, nope, I'm divorcing so-and-so. I'm divorced. God told me. I already prayed about it. God told me I should divorce him. And I've got this other guy already. I'm like, that's not God. That's stupidity. No, God told me. That wasn't her God. That wasn't God. That was her flesh. God created marriage to be a completing relationship. God knew a woman needed a man and a man needed a woman. And so God didn't want us to be apart. He wanted us to be married. And by the way, you ought to enjoy marriage. Okay, thank you, Robert. That was one. All right, good. Letter B. So we started apart, stay different. Letter B, stay different. I'm going to read, believe it or not, verses that are now controversial. Ridiculously so. Here it is. God made them male and female. How dare I say that in church? I have a hard time believing that that's controversial. When all of our children were born, now towards the first couple, I don't think we knew, but after that, we had ultrasound. But the first couple, it's like the baby was born. It wasn't like, it's something. You know, like when Brother Pineda would give away cigars, pink for girl, purple for boy. It's not brain surgery. You are either a boy or a girl. Oh, how dogmatic. That's just common sense. Now, We're in this room. We understand the Bible. And by the way, most everybody in our country understands that. It's just a few nutcases forcing everybody else to buy into this stupidity. But that's for another day. God made us different. If you're a guy, you're a guy. By the way, that's even controversial. We just want to think, blend everybody together. Well, women are exactly like men, and men are exactly like women. Listen, if you're a man and you're like a woman, stay away from me. I love you. I have nothing against you, but be a man. And if you're a lady, be a lady. It's who you are. There's nothing wrong with it. But the thing is, when we get in marriage, we need to understand that my wife's a lady, so she is going to act like a lady. And ladies, I won't say women, I like ladies. Ladies, your husband is a man, and guess what he's going to act like? A man. That's controversial. Come on. We expect each other to think and to act like each other. It's the differences that we appreciate in each other. Right? I wanted a wife that was a wife. She was a lady. Hopefully she wanted a guy that was a man. I've heard on the phone talk to ladies before. I probably shouldn't listen, but hey, it is what it is. And obviously, lady maybe is frustrated with her husband, and she's like, sister, he's a man. See, what you ladies do, when something, you want us to act like ladies, but when a situation comes up when you need him to act like a man, now you want him to act like a man. Make up your mind. Oh, and the kids are misbehaving, I want you to step up and be the man. But everything else, you don't want him to say anything. Let him be a man. And let your wife be a lady. We're different. It's okay. Accept it. See, society wants to just blur the lines. You can't. It's who we are. And if we don't understand that, we don't give each other slack. Okay? Accept it. Ladies, don't accept your husband to see things like you do. We're not touchy-feely. We're not. Okay? I love babies. We've had a bunch of them. We have grandkids. I love them. I'll hold them. But when it smells, that's your job. I'm not good at that. Now, I've changed diapers before, and I don't mind doing that. But I'm not just all, you know, it's like, look, little boys don't pick up dolls and say, They get a doll and say, look, boom, you can bang the head. The arm comes off. Right? Little boys grab trucks and go, you know, my wife has daycare and we have little boys and we'll get them little riding toys and they're out there running the toys into the wall. And I'll go out there, hey, don't do that. You're breaking the toys. I don't mind them running them into the wall. That's what boys do. I just don't have to buy a new one. Okay? And the little girls, they like the dolls and like they'll cuddle with the doll. Now, little, when they're babies, they kind of get off kilter sometime and drag them by the hair, but they'll survive. But you want us, we're not like that. Now I will say this, y'all. We need to be a little, I don't want to be sensitive, but we have to be a little sensitive. See, ladies, you talk through things. Sometimes the easiest counsel you'll ever give is to a lady. Right? You sit down. Well, you know, this is going on in my life, and I was just thinking that, you know, just in all that, and it's like, now make sure you have coffee by them, guys, because you can drink the coffee, at least have something positive going. And, you know, just like, and I'm just thinking, and you know what happens? They'll talk their way to a proper conclusion, and all you did was drink coffee. Because they're thinking it through as they're talking. And they'll thank you for it. Thank you, that was helpful. I just drank coffee. Tried not to burp, okay? Guys aren't like that. We're just kind of run through a wall. Here it is, you know, 10 words or less. Boom. That's okay. Yeah, and not about the nail. That right there is probably the best minute and a half on marriage I've ever seen. You got a nail in your head. It's not about the nail. You never listen. So I'm pretty sure if we pulled that thing out, you'd be fine. No, no, no. You're always trying to fix me. Okay. It's getting late already. Okay, hey. By the way, guys, don't expect your wife to see things like you do. What men, we're to the point. Now listen, I have to control my tongue. I have to control my tongue, and I'm not always good at it. My wife's telling me something. I'm like, I'm already five sentences ahead of you. Get to the point, will you? But I can't say that. Now sometimes I'm like, you know, we're pulling the car in right now, so you really got 30 seconds. Can we kind of just like tone this thing down a little? They're expressive. By the way, you like that when they're all huggy. Okay? Let them be expressed. Let them talk. You know how it is. I think men get 10,000 words a day and ladies get 25,000 and they usually exceed that. Okay? Let them talk. I was in the car one time with Hannah when she was a little girl. She's much better now. And she was just, I'm driving. I'm like, it's like white noise. I'm like, hey, sister, why don't we take a break for a little bit and save some of those words for when you get married? Okay? You already exceeded your 25,000. But you know what? We have to accept that we're different. Okay, we have to accept it. All righty, it's not as always easy. And that also we have to fulfill it. Do you know each of us have a role? There's nothing wrong with that. God defines the roles. We know what the roles are. So let's fulfill our role. All right, let's get to number two. Time's going on. Number two, so it's a created relationship. Number two, it's a committed relationship. Committed. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. You know, that is why marriage starts with vows, not vowels, okay? Not A-E-I-O-U, okay? Although usually there is an I-O-U somewhere in there. It's vows. Tell death do us part. And by the way, no speeding up the process, all right? It's a commitment. Commitment represents a lifetime. Let me say this. Sometimes when stuff's breaking up, marriage, you're having a hard time, it's not so much that they want to leave their husband. They want to get somebody else. Because you think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Can I just tell you something? There is grass on the other side of the fence. It needs to be mowed. It needs to be watered and all that stuff. And it needs to be fertilized. And that bozo who's trying to hit on you at work, he'll be just like your husband. In fact, he'll be worse if you make that dumb step. Okay? It's just a matter of we try. We it's a commitment. See, if a commitment's there and the door is closed, then you try to work on it together. It's a commitment. Commitment makes changes to your life when you're married. Once you're married, you're not single anymore. You're not. Quit acting like a single. Okay? You're married. Responsibility. You're not hanging out with your buddies anymore. Now, I'm not saying occasionally you can't do something, but it's not, what are we doing after work? You're going home after work. That's what you're doing. You're going to be with your wife after work. You're going to be at home with your family. That's what you're going to do. That's called being a big boy. That's called being an adult. That's called commitment. Okay? Same thing, ladies. Oh, I got to just have my time with my lady friends. That's dangerous. Now, I'm not saying you can't get with, you know what I mean. I'm just, you're not single. Especially, be very careful. It's not in here, but we'll just throw this. You can't hang around with, once you're married, don't hang around with single ladies. They have a, now again, I'm not saying you should never talk to them. You don't take it to an extreme. You know what I'm saying? But if all you're doing is all your friends are single, all you're doing is hearing the single stuff. And they don't have a husband that takes his shoes off and throws his socks in the middle of the hallway. Now, eventually they will. And so it's like, oh, I got trapped in this life and we got married. So, oh, no, no, stop. All right, letter A, leave the past. That's what I was talking about. Leave the past. A man leave father and mother. He's got to leave a whole lot of stuff. By the way, don't let your family interfere. That's my mom, and that's my dad. No, 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 no. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're your mom and dad, okay. Your number one relationship is your spouse, not mommy and daddy. And by the way, let me say this, in-laws and mommy and daddies, don't interfere in your children's marriage. Don't do it. You can influence, but don't get involved. I mean, you know, we push them to do something that will cause conflict in their marriage. You don't have that right. Well, I want you to do this. I'm sorry. They're married. That's their family. Okay? Now, if they're doing something hurtful and you got, I understand that. But we have sometimes overbearing families. That's your new, now respect and love, and if you got godly parents and family, you got to let them influence you. I understand all that. But some, and then you have some that'll try to try to siphon from you, and you're hurting your whole family. Your number one relationship is your wife and your children now. Letter B, cleave to the present. Leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. And we've already mentioned that. You've entered a new phase in life. By the way, embrace it and enjoy it. Oh, the honeymoon's great. It ends. You're not going to live in Hawaii or Vegas or wherever you go. Just kidding. You're not going to live there. It comes back. Now it's a matter of putting a family, putting a life together, getting how are we going to do things? What are we doing here? Having that all going forward. Number three, it's a close relationship. Close. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain but one flesh. Husband and wife is the closest relationship on this earth. And it needs to be. That's why you got to guard it. Letter A, physically. Now we're not going to go off here, but there's a physical aspect of closeness that is only to be reserved for marriage. Okay? And let me say this. Many people are immoral without being married, but that doesn't make them close. A lady and a man can live together and have act like they're married and do all the things like marriage, but they're missing the key to it, the commitment. See, we have it all backward in how our dating process. Everything starts with the physical. Everything's about beauty. Everything's about how ladies just dress so sensual nowadays and try to, and by the way, that gets guys' attention. But if, let me just say this, if you get a guy like by that, you know there's always going to be someone that's better than you. If it's all about how tight I look and all this nonsense and all the immoral, there's someone else. Okay, so what we do is we start out the relationship with looks and the physical. And then we hope that the mental part and the compatibility part will come later. And you know what we're finding out? It doesn't. How many people I've heard like, well, you know, we got together and we just really didn't know each other because it. You see, God's way is flipped. And then you say, well, it's physical, and then mental, and if you're lucky, you get spiritual. Although in our society, that part's not thrown out. See, Christianity, it's flipped. Hey, what kind of Christian are they? Well, they love God. Now, of course, don't, you know, he looks like he got hit by a dump truck. I'm not saying that. You got to be attracted to him. I get it. But it's like, hey, they're a good Christian. They love God. And we have a lot in common, and we're going the same direction. The physical part will be fine after marriage. Don't worry about it. Right, see, we flip it in our society, and maybe that's why the divorce rate is off the charts. A bunch of people are getting married for the wrong reason. They don't even know each other, and it's all based on this, woo! And then they get together, and she can't cook. She's got different philosophies about this, that, or the other, and it's just not working. Personally, letter B, personally. It says they shall be twain, that thou be one flesh, so they are no more twain but one. It's more than just physical relationship when it's talking about being one. You are to be one in every single aspect. Okay? You've got to be unified in everything you do. There's a oneness bond in all areas, spiritual, mental, emotional. Oh, no, but she's so beautiful. She won't be beautiful when she's flying off the handle. and you come home and she's bouncing checks left and right, doing stuff behind your back because that's just who she was and you didn't check that out ahead of time, she'll look pretty ugly. By the way, there's a reason allegedly the most beautiful women on the earth go from husband to husband to husband. If they're so beautiful, how come they are going from this guy to that guy to this guy? Because there's a little bit more to it than that. Ask questions. Do they have the same values I have? Is what is important to them is the same as what is important to me? I don't care how beautiful they are. Do they have the same goals? Do they have the same spiritual desires? Well, you know, just church just isn't his thing. Run. You know, she just doesn't get the whole Christian. Run. By the way, you shouldn't even go near those people. Do they have the same financial control? When you get a $1,000 credit card bill at 24% interest, she's going to look like a broom flyer. She can be all dutied up. I mean, you know, but when you get that credit card bill, she don't look so good. And the same with him. Oh, he's a hunk. Yeah, he is. Do they have the same work ethic? Do you have the same child-rearing philosophy? Do you have the same beliefs? It's like the story I heard. It was a guy who years ago, he never met her, but he fell in love with this opera singer. He loved opera and he loved her voice. In fact, he loved her voice so much, he said, I'm going to get to know her and I'm going to marry her because I love that voice. And so he worked at it and he wormed his way in to get to know her. And sure enough, he got to marry her. On their wedding night, after the wedding, they came and she took all of her makeup off. She took a fake leg off. She took her false teeth out. She took her fake eye out. And he looked at her and he said, quick, baby, sing. You're going to feel like that someday. All right, here we go. Number four, it's a closed relationship. Closed. What do I mean? What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Letter A, there's a spiritual aspect. God's the one that joined us together. And he's the one that can keep us together. Man, there's an old song when I was a kid, love will keep us together. Probably not. Okay. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Jerry? Okay. I think Jerry wrote that song. Love won't just keep you together. There's got to be a commitment there. I mean, you got to have love, but there's got to be a commitment to God to help that thing out. Don't neglect the spiritual aspect. Come to church, meet it, make sure you're to church together. Make sure you have the same spiritual goals, the same spiritual bond. It's like the old illustration of the triangle. They have the triangle, and at the top is God, and at the bottom is the husband, at the top, and the other bottom is the wife. And as they grow closer to God, what happens? They get closer to each other. There's got to be a spiritual aspect. No marriage is, believe it or not, no marriage is perfect because no person is perfect. I'm probably the closest in here. Just kidding. Okay. No, there's no perfect marriage. I'm looking for perfection. I've got this list that I'm looking for in a guy. Well, if you find a guy that matches your list, he has a list too, and you're not going to match it. Okay? But if you're close to God, you'll be fine. So it's a spiritual relationship, and it's to be a secure relationship. Let not man put asunder. Don't let anybody or anything get in the way of that relationship. Don't do it. Don't do it. I already mentioned, don't let your in-laws or your family members do it. Don't let them. Don't you dare let them. Let me say, if you are, and we haven't had this in our family, man, I get along great with my in-laws. And my mom, my mom would take my wife's side before she would take my side. Okay? We don't have that problem. But if I was there and someone in my family is going to, you know, your wife is this, that, or the other, I'm not going to listen to it. Stop. And by the way, don't you go telling them bad things about your wife either. Mom, You know, my husband is treating, Daddy, my husband's treating me so bad. And Dad's going to be a dad. Now, when he gives you chocolates when you get home, Dad didn't get chocolates. Okay? He didn't. So you're causing trouble. Don't let them. By the way, don't let your children get in the way. Oh, they're so cute. We're going to let them sleep with us. No. We had one of the grandkids over. That's about a month ago. It was Charlie. And she was struggling to go to bed. She was crying. And we're in the room. My wife's like, you know, she's crying. She won't cry if she's in the room with us. I'm like, yeah, okay, she can sleep. Go get her. And she brought her in the room. And it's like, after 2 minutes, I'm like, she's out. Okay, I'm trying to sleep. And she rolls over. And she's sticking her finger in my ear. Okay, and she's like hitting. And she's thinking it's funny. I'm like, you little brat, you were just crying 3 minutes ago. So I'm like, I love you to pieces, but I want to go to bed. Get her out of here. But, you know, look, I understand there's, but you let your, you know, we can't go on date night. We have these children. Get a babysitter. Okay. You had the relationship long before you had children. And by the way, once your children move out of the house, if they ever do, they get out of the house. Eventually they will. It's just going to be you and her. Well, you don't have anything in common. Well, get something in common. Play bingo. Secure. Don't let another person of the opposite gender. I mentioned this over on Sunday. Don't do it. It's so easy in our society. Emails. Little things at work. And then it gets to text. And then you got this little thing going on. And then it gets out of. Don't do it. Don't do it. I had a good friend. I went to Bible college with the guy. The guy was a pastor. Worked with him in another church. And you know, they had a girl that would babysit for them on their date nights. She was 18, and he would drive her home after date nights by himself. He ran off with her. Left his wife, his 6 or 7 children. That's ridiculous. By the way, he shouldn't have been in the car with her alone anyhow. Okay, don't do it. Make it that divorce is not an option. Make it that if we have a problem, which, newsflash, you will. Not if, when. You work on it. You're upset with each other? We'll get over it. One of those things. We're committed to this relationship. We're fine. We're going forward. Don't let anything get that relationship. Find times. That's why, I mean, you know, it's not just a push, but, you know, that's why you need to get away. You need, look, if you're married, you need to have a date night. When I say date night, I don't mean with somebody else. I mean with your spouse. Not like, honey, I have date night. Do you mind if I take this lady out? No, I'm talking about that. Okay, date night with her. You need to do that. Find times to be alone together. Go away. But that's cost money, okay? Someone has said, it's cheaper to keep her, okay? I say you get what you pay for. No date nights. If you can, go to the couples retreat. You guys need to be alone. We make excuses for why we never go out together. We make excuses for why we don't do it. We're too tired. We're okay. We don't need it, okay? When I was in Bible college, I worked the weekends. From the weekends, I was working on the bus route on the weekends from like 8 in the morning until 2 o'clock in the morning Monday. We'd come back to the dorm, sleep about 4 hours, go back out. That weekends were crazy. And then I worked third shift, and I went to college. So when I had a date with my wife when we were courting, that meant I had to give up sleep. Now, I ain't doing that anymore, okay? We're already married. But it's like, I mean, I want to be with her, man. She's so beautiful. And I go, and then 2 o'clock in the morning, and you hear that buzzing in your ears because you're dead tired. But, man, it was worth it because we wanted to be together. And then we get married, and it's like, you know, you drive sometimes, and I'll joke around my wife. She knows what I say. We'll drive, and there's like a couple in the car next door, and they're making out. And it's like, yep, good dose of marriage will stop that, okay? Man, before we're married, we can't wait to be with each other. And after we're married, it's, oh, okay? Let's work on it. Anything not worked on will die a natural death. Yes, sir. And that's true of your marriage. And so let's work on it and follow Jesus' views. Let's pray.